I want to ask you a question real quickly. What would you consider to be the most important aspect or the most important thing in the work of the Lord, in the ministry of Christ tonight? I would imagine we could probably get a lot of answers if we simply went out and began to ask people. The other day I received some stuff, as I do about every day, and I was reading it, and this particular individual was telling about how that most pastors, when they get to a church, the number one thing they always say, they didn't teach me that in seminary. So what would be considered the most important thing in the ministry of the church? Well, I think tonight the Bible gives us a good answer in the book of Acts, chapter 4. And two of my favorite chapters in the Bible tonight are Acts 4 and 5, because it tells us the great exploits that men did tonight when they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And verse number 13, as Peter and John have been brought before this Sanhedrin council because they had healed a man in chapter number 3. And they said this about them: "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." I think tonight the answer tonight, maybe the most important thing for any individual Christian, certainly tonight for any pastor, and I believe tonight for every church collectively tonight, the most important thing in the service of God is what it was said about these particular individuals here, that they had been with Jesus. The Bible says here that when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived, that is, they knew that they were unlearned and ignorant men. In other words, they were not educated individuals. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean, and when the Bible calls them here unlearned, it doesn't mean they didn't know anything. But they hadn't attended the schools and hadn't been educated in the ways of the old rabbinical schools tonight. And they didn't have a degree following their name. They were unlearned and ignorant. They didn't have any credentials. No one had wrote them a letter of recommendation. They didn't even have a pedigree. They weren't following tonight a line that had been set forth down through the ages. If you read the book of Amos, you find that when Amos went to preach in the city, that they came to him and told him to go back to the country. And he said, "I'm not going back." He said, "I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet. But God called me out of the field to come to town and to preach the word of God." These individuals didn't have a pedigree. They didn't have a lineage to look back to assure them tonight of this status. But the Bible says very simply, they'd been with Jesus. They'd not just been around Jesus. And there's a great difference tonight of being around Jesus and having been with Jesus. A lot of people during this time had been around Jesus. A lot of people had heard Jesus preach. A lot of people had assembled as he had proclaimed God's word. Many of them had seen him perform great miracles. Yet they had not ever really been with Jesus. But we have here a group of individuals who had traveled with him, who had been taught by him. And the Bible says they had been with Jesus. And the fact that they had been with Jesus had changed everything. Even their enemies, even these people who were their sworn enemies at this time, could see the difference that Jesus made in their life. And I think sometimes we need to realize that Jesus does make a difference in the life of individuals tonight. He changes people tonight. That's what Jesus really does. He saves our soul and redeems our life, and He changes us and makes us new creatures in Christ. The Bible tells us in the book of Acts that the early Christians turned the world upside down. And the reason they were able to do that was because they had been with Jesus. And it's more than knowledge tonight. We need a lot more than knowledge in this day and age. There's a lot of knowledge being dispensed. We can go to schools of education tonight and learn so many different things. You could go to seminary and Bible school and learn a great knowledge tonight and learn different techniques. And they're now teaching it like it's a business school of how to administrate and how to pastor and how to minister within a church. But I want to tell you tonight, to change the world, it takes a lot more than knowledge this evening. It even takes a lot more than prayers. It takes a lot more tonight than simple religion. Curtis McCauley, who died many years ago, was a great preacher, one of the best I ever heard in all of my life. And I remember hearing him give a testimony of how that he got, as a young pastor, as a young preacher, he desired that God would teach him how that he might preach with power, how that he might preach and proclaim the Word of God. And somebody told him he needed to go and see this particular individual. And so he called him and said, "Can I come? Will you help me?" And the man said, "Yes, you come and I'll help you." And Curtis said he drove to his home and said, he met him on the porch and he said, "Get your Bible." And he said, I got my Bible, and said, we got in his old pickup truck and we began to wind up into the mountains and up into the woods. And then we finally come to this little shack and said, he opened the door and said, "Get out. There's enough food in there for 3 days. You stay a week and I'll be back. And you get down on your knees with your Bible before God and get with Jesus and you'll learn how to preach." And he said, that was a life-changing thing for me. You see, it's not going to come tonight from man's knowledge. It's going to come tonight from us being with the Lord. He'd been with Jesus. I look around our world tonight, and certainly we live in the midst of a very evil and wicked time. We live in many instances as it was in the days of Acts, if you really study the history of the world. We live in a time of false religion and false prophets and different kinds of doctrines being tossed about. We live in the midst of all kind of moral and political corruption. We live tonight in the midst of darkness and evil on every hand. When the poor tonight are persecuted as they were in the days of the book of Acts, all you have to do is study history. And you know, this evening we can complain and we can murder, we can grumble. But if we really want to see change tonight, I think what we really have to do is to be with Jesus. I'm convinced in my heart of hearts tonight that the main thing this world needs tonight is some people who are willing just simply to get and be with the Lord tonight and be with Jesus and let Jesus direct their lives. You see, when you get with Jesus, the Bible tells us here in Acts chapter 4 that there are some things that begin to happen in your life. It tells here about Peter and John in the first part of verse 13. "Now when they saw the boldness..." You see, they begin to have some boldness. That word means fearless, daring, courage, and bravery. It means to be willing to undertake things that involve risk or danger. Now you think about that this evening. To be willing to volunteer to do something that involves risk or danger. They were bold. In verse number 31, you see they say, it says this, and they spake the word of God with boldness. You see, they had a boldness for the Lord. They had a boldness for the word of God. They had the courage, the bravery to stand by God's word without any kind of compromise. In Acts chapter 4, verse number 12, and their answer to the charges that were being leveled against them by this Jewish council, they said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven where among men whereby we must be saved. They didn't hesitate to say that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. They didn't hesitate to say tonight that there is no other way that you can ever enter the pearly gates tonight except through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was through His cross. It was through His death upon the cross and His resurrection from the dead tonight that guarantees every man, woman, and boy and girl the opportunity to walk upon the street of gold. They didn't compromise that tonight and begin to say there might be some other way or God might let you in for this reason. They didn't compromise tonight on all the other parts of the Word of God. They stood with firmness and boldness tonight. And they said, we stand upon the Word of God. We proclaim the Word of God with boldness tonight. And though it might be at great risk tonight, we make no apology for it. I've been reading in the Baptist record about some of those pastors in Muslim countries. Many of them have been imprisoned. Many of them have been sentenced to death or life imprisonment tonight. Most of them have been expelled from their families and disowned by their families this evening. Yet we find that even in those countries tonight where preaching the Word of God is still a offense punishable by death, there are those who are still tonight standing and preaching and being bold with the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. I wonder about that. I thought about that for a long time. Every time I read about one of those individuals in those Muslim countries who's a living, breathing testimony for the change that Jesus wrought in their life, where would I be? How would I stand? We have it pretty easy in this nation, don't we? You think about that this evening. Where would we be? Several years ago, I had a friend by the name of Larry White who pastored the First Baptist Church in Vernon, Alabama. And he was also a chaplain in the Alabama National Guard. And when they were called to Kuwait, he was one of those that was called up and he had to go into Kuwait. Actually, they stayed in Saudi Arabia, but as they were there in that Muslim country, he told how that they weren't supposed to carry their Bible outside. They weren't allowed to wear the cross as the symbol of the chaplaincy on their uniform. He could only minister to the troops. He wasn't allowed to evangelize or speak to any of those people in that Muslim country. And he said that weighed heavily upon my mind. And he said one night there came a knock upon my door and I opened my tent and said, this man came in and said, are you the chaplain? And he said, yes, sir, I am. He said, we have some people that want to hear about Jesus. Would you come? And he said, I knew it was against regulations and I knew that it was against the code and the law of the nation. But he said, I couldn't help but go. And he told how that he went. And this man led him. And he thought, all this time he may be leading me into a trap. But that he finally got him to this little apartment and said they went in and they had put blankets over all the windows so the lights wouldn't shine. And he said there were about 20 people gathered in that little room, and there he told them the story of Jesus. And he said he went back about 6 times. And he said right before he was getting ready to come back to the United States, the same man came and said, "Would you come?" And he went with him, and he said there in that little room, 19 people had professed Jesus Christ as their Savior and wanted to be baptized. And he baptized them in a bathtub. And he said he got letters from them regularly. They were still serving the Lord. Many of them were caught and imprisoned. I wonder tonight, where would I be? You see, we better be with Jesus tonight. That's the only way we can have the courage, I believe, this evening to be with Him. You see, these people were told not to preach in Jesus. Look at chapter 4, verse number 18. "And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus." That sounds like something they would say today, doesn't it? You can go into any public facility, and as long as you don't say the name of Jesus, everything is all right. But if you are asked to pray, they'll tell you don't pray in the name of Jesus. Isn't it amazing? Yet what did Peter and John say? "But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot speak but of things which we have seen and heard." They said, "Jesus has done something for us, and we can't help but speak." I want to tell you tonight, we need some holy boldness tonight from folks who have been with the Lord. Amen. When there was power. Chapter 4, verse number 33, the Bible here declares that, "And with great power give the apostles witnesses of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus." It was the power of God that fell upon them tonight. As you begin to read this story, you find that people were changed and people were saved. And most of all, we find that God was glorified and lifted up. I think tonight we need the power of God in our lives many times. In our churches and in our homes. And I believe tonight that the power that we get tonight from God, we get it from being with Jesus tonight. I heard about a man that heard a knock on his door and heard his wife open the door, and she was standing there talking. And so finally he got curious, and just as he walked out, his wife shut the door, and he looked and saw this man kind of walking off, plainly dressed. And he said, "What did that man want?" And she said, "He asked me if I was a Christian, if I had been saved, did I know Jesus?" And he said, "Did you tell him you went to church?" She said, "I did." And she said, "What did he say?" He said, "He didn't ask me if I went to church. He wanted to know, did I know Jesus?" And he said, "Did you tell him to mind his own business?" She said, "From the way he talked, I think he was." The power of God. See, that's the power of God that's in when you've been with Jesus tonight. Right. We need that power. Amen. We really do. And we only get it from being with Jesus this evening. One other thing I want to mention, or two other things real quickly. In chapter 4, verse 33, the last phrase is said, "And great grace was upon them all." I've read that for many years, and I thought, what does this mean? What tonight does it mean when it says great grace was upon them all? Now, we know the grace of God that bringeth salvation. We know tonight that we are saved by grace. But when it speaks here of God's people, when it speaks here of God's people ministering to others, and it talks about great grace was upon them all, What was it? What does it really mean this evening? Well, I think if you'll turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 5, there, as the Apostle Paul writes to that group of churches in Galatia, and as he writes those individuals, he gives a list of things tonight, beginning in verse 22, when he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, against which there is so no law." I think he's talking here about that the Holy Spirit does within us as God's people tonight. That God was demonstrating His grace through these people tonight, and there was no jealousy. They weren't jealous one of another. They weren't envying each other. They didn't have any strife or disunity or discord, and no one was trying to figure out how to stand out above the crowd. It was just God working through these people tonight to tell a Savior has come, that Jesus is Lord, and God is to be praised. It's just God working through people. I believe with all of my heart tonight, when you get with Jesus and you begin to experience what the Lord has done for you, you know, you begin to say, "Hey, no need of me being jealous or envious. No need of me calling problems here. Let's just serve the Lord. Let's just lift up Jesus and glorify Him." Doesn't make any difference tonight. None of us should get any credit at all, because the power, the courage, all comes from the Lord anyway. The grace of God tonight that we exhibit and others see in us goes a long way. And then there was thankfulness. Chapter 5 and verses 40 and 41. Amazes me what they were thankful for. "And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name." They were thankful tonight that the Lord allowed them to suffer for him. You know, usually we're thankful tonight for the blessings that God gives to us. We can thank God for all of the great things that he's done for us, and certainly we should do that. But these individuals were even thankful tonight that God allowed them to suffer for his name's sake. Why? Because they'd been with Jesus. I'm convinced in my heart of hearts tonight that what we need tonight in all of our lives is for us sometime just to get alone with Jesus, be with the Lord tonight, and follow Him. And then people can look and say, "Couldn't have been them. They're unlearned and ignorant. They have no credentials, no pedigree, no education, but they've been with Jesus." Hallelujah tonight. Isn't that great? Been with Jesus. Been with Jesus. Been with Jesus. Have you been with Jesus tonight? That's the question that you have to answer in your own heart. As we stand together, Brother Ruth, you and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've been together. We ask you to take this very simple message and use it for the honor and glory of Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.